You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode number 394 of Locked On Raptors for Wednesday, October 10th. I am your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. You, of course, can find links to every single episode. And, of course, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network. We've got team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams, all 32 NFL teams, a whole bunch of college programs as well. We've got Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On Fantasy Football. We've got Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson. We've got Locked On NBA with David Locke. There's so much shit for you to listen to, so make sure you are finding it on the Locked On NBA, NFL, and college channels. Locked On MLB as well has not shows for every team, but I believe some of the teams left in the playoffs have corresponding shows, so make sure you're listening to those as well. We also have Locked On NBA's season preview series, which is coming out all week this week. Six teams per day with each of the local hosts. I'm going to be on Friday's episode previewing the Raptors season. So if you want to get a full encompassing look at the NBA and all the teams involved, make sure you are checking out the Locked On NBA preview. It's very, very good. Of course, subscribe, rate, review on iTunes, all that good stuff that I always ask you to do. It's very, very helpful. And without further ado, let's get to today's show, which I guess has become an annual tradition now. I'm joined today to go through the 2018-19 Raptors prop bets by Sahal Abdi. How's it going?
I'm great, man. It's good to be back on.
Hell yeah. And also, Vivek Jacob. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great. Kawhi just had a steal in this preseason game against the Nets, and then he went down and missed a dunk, but it went right to Danny Green, and he hit a three, which is awesome. These people play for the Raptors. It's pretty damn cool.
Just like they drew it up.
Yes. So we're going to dive into 10 prop bets for this season like we did last year. Do we remember who won last year? Was it Sahal?
I definitely won.
Vivek won, okay.
Vivek won, yeah. Vivek right. won.
Okay. Well,
I was going to take credit, but I was like, you know what?
I just knew it wasn't me. It could not have been me because I think I was too low on them last year, which was pretty dumb because they ended up being very good. They might be also very good this season. I would actually bank on that. They're going to be really awesome according to this second half against the Nets, who are going to be bad. Stop talking about the Nets being good. They suck. Anyway, let's get to our 10 prop bets here. We'll roll through these kind of quickly because we don't want to go too long with this. But number one, more points per game. Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, or DeLon Wright. Sahal, you have the honors. I'll let you go first. Actually, no, Vivek's the champion. Vivek, you can go first. Sahal, we'll get to you in a second. Go ahead, Vivek. What do you got for more points per game between Pascal, Fred, and DeLon?
I am going to go with Pascal Siakam.
Ooh.
I think as the season wears on, there's a lot of minutes for him in the front court. Mm-hmm. And just the way he's developed, you're seeing a little bit of it in the preseason, in this game specifically as well. His moves off the dribble, his ability to create. I think he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. Between him and Fred and DeLon, I know DeLon, it's a big year for him, especially if he doesn't sign an offer in the next 4 days, I guess.
4 days, yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I'm going to go with Pascal. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the spicy season.
All right. He has had two dunks in this quarter that we're watching as we record this podcast, which were very exciting. And he's playing with the starters, which is also kind of interesting, and it might come into a question we have later. Sahal, what do you got between Pascal, Fred, and DeLon for most points per game?
This was a really good question. I'm actually going to go Fred VanVleet, and the reason why is because I'm obviously assuming that the Raptors are going to have one of their best seasons in franchise history with their current roster. They're probably going to be near the 60 win total, mid-50s this year as well. So I'm thinking, as the year's going along, I'm kind of thinking what situation Fred VanVleet's going to be in. I'm thinking that maybe Kyle Lowry's going to take a little bit of a rest. I think Nurse is going to prioritize that a lot more throughout the season. Again, Kyle Lowry is 32, I believe. Mm-hmm. So Fred was a Sixth Man of the Year candidate last season. I mean, the Raptors organization has full trust in this guy. If something were to happen to Kyle Lowry, God forbid, knock on wood. Mm. But I think Fred's going to get a lot more chances this year. I think he's clear-cut the I guess you could say, for me, he's the best player on the bench, clear cut. And Fred, for me, also, near the end of the year last year, really showed that he has starter ability. So I think Fred, when it comes down to it, it's not going to be by much, but I do think Fred VanVleet's going to lead in points per game.
That is, I've gone back and forth between him and DeLon, sorry, him and Pascal. DeLon, I think, is an interesting pick. He actually was second among these guys last year. Fred was at 8.6, DeLon at 8, and Pascal at 7.3. But I'm going to go with Pascal as well, just because I think there's going to be a bit of cannibalization there between Fred and DeLon in the event that Lowry has his minutes scaled back even further from last year. And I think those guys, they're going to kind of share the court. You know, they play, oddly enough, I'm surprised to see this. DeLon actually played almost a full minute more than Fred last season, which is kind of surprising. I bet Fred probably ekes out a bit more of a role this season, but I just, I don't know. I kind of think Pascal has got, like Vivek alluded to, kind of a more easy path to minutes and regular playing time. And if the indications of tonight's game are anything, like, he might end up starting it sometimes. And I just think I have this kind of take that I'm brewing that I think by the end of the season, we're going to look at Pascal Siakam as the third best player on the Raptors. The three-point shooting has to come, obviously. And if that comes around even a little bit, that'll help the scoring total, obviously. But yeah, I think I'm going to go Pascal. I think the opportunity's there for him, and I think there's kind of a breakout brewing here. And the sort of the short front court rotation, which isn't a bad thing. It's by design, I think. But the lack of, like, competition for minutes at the four, and even at the five for Pascal, I think are really going to sort of lend well to him putting up some good numbers. So I will say Pascal Siakam. I think he might average, like, 12 or 13 points a game by the time it's all said and done. Like, maybe that's a little ambitious, but I think we'll see surges probably, you know, totals come down a little bit. We'll see Miles will come down a little bit. You know, DeRozan obviously is probably just going to be replaced by Kawhi at the top of the scoring charts. But, like, I do think there's going to be a few extra buckets to go around. And if Pascal's got some extra minutes, if he's playing, you know, 25, 26 minutes a game, I think he could kind of creep up there. So I have Pascal as well. And so that means Sahal is probably going to be leading after this, after myself and Vivek. We went majority on Pascal there. All right, next one here. Jonas Valanciunas, points per game, over under 14.0. I feel like I've done this question on multiple podcasts for like 4 years now and always taken the over. And I'm tempted to again, but Sahal, let's hear what you think first. Over under 14 points a game for Jonas this season.
You know what? You mentioned the lack of front court depth. But I think the Raptors are in a pretty good position. I mean, Greg Monroe is a backup five. He's not going to play a traditional backup five. He's probably going to see 10 or less minutes a game. But I think JV is going to take a massive step forward this year. He had his best year of his career last season, and it seems like he's getting better by, I guess you could say, fractionally. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, JV, he looks a lot thinner this year. He's moving around a lot better, and we seem to be saying that every year. But I think he really looks a lot more different. I think he understands Nick Nurse's system a lot more. He's very capable of stepping outside, hitting the three. I mean, I forgot what preseason game it was, but he pump-faked, and a guy jumped on his three. So, I mean, people are falling for it. So, I mean, JV's really expanded his game. I'm taking the over with JV, 14 points per game. Again, it's not going to be by much. I'm not saying this guy's going to average 20 and 10 or whatever it may be, but I think he's going to be clear-cut the third best player for the Toronto Raptors this year.
All right. Vivek, what do you think?
I am taking the under.
Okay.
So, again, I do think he's going to improve. I agree with a lot of what Sahal said. But I think he'll be sort of in that mid to high 13s, not quite get to that 14 mark, mm-hmm. which is why I'll take the under. But again, there's minutes for him. But I think what we'll see is more of the democratic offense that we saw last year. So it's not going to be him maybe missing out on an opportunity to get to, you know, 15, even to 16 points a game. But it's just the way the style of the offense is going to be. Even if he gets the ball a lot, I think it'll be a lot of opportunities that open up around him. I look forward to him getting his assists up even more than last year, just because of all the shooters that'll be around him. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll get up into the 13s. I think his assists will be up, but I don't think he'll cross the 14 mark.
All right, I am going to take the over because I think it's just going to be a simple minutes thing. Last season, Jonas averaged 20 and 13 per 36 minutes, and he played just 22 minutes a game, so that translated into 12.7 points a game. I think there's a chance that he's going to creep up to like 25, 26 minutes, and as his sort of clunky, inefficient post-ups get removed even further from his game, and it's more of just him being a pick-and-pop and pick-and-roll threat, I am kind of feeling a little bit of an offensive explosion here for Jonas. And I say this knowing I just predicted Pascal was going to average 12 points a game as well. Maybe this team averages 130 points a game and all of these things come true. I don't know. But I just think Jonas is going to have the minutes this season. I think there's going to be less opportunity for him to be played off the floor, which has always kind of been his limiting factor to his production, because he's efficient no matter what. Like, every time he plays, every time he touches the ball, he's efficient, he's scoring at a high rate. So I just think with the defensive help around him and sort of the, you know, fewer opportunities that he's going to have to just be totally run off the court, and also with Serge maybe kind of not being awesome, which we've seen mostly tonight aside from that one block, I think there's going to be 26, 27 minutes a game here for Jonas, and I think if he has that, he'll get over 14 pretty easily. So that'll be my prediction there. So after the two picks, we all have different selections so far, so that's a very good podcast in traditional podcast terms, at least. Before we get to our next one, I want to tell you guys about our sponsor for today, and that is Vivid Seats. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team. And with Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app. It's free. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. It is a wonderful time to be a Toronto sports fan. The teams are very good, and thus they're pretty expensive. So why not try to get a bit of money off of the price of tickets to go see the Maple Leafs or the Raptors by using Vivid Seats? Promo code LOCKEDON, $20 off orders of $200 or more if you're a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. All right, let's get to the third of our prop bets here. The next two questions are kind of similar, so here we go. First one, more starts, Danny Green, Norm Powell, or DeLon Wright? Who's going to have the most starts of those three guys? Vivek, let's start with you.
I'm going to go with Danny Green.
Okay.
I think Nick Nurse will have a huge appreciation for what he brings as a veteran, the championship experience, just doing the right things on the court. And, you know, obviously they're two very, very different players, but I think, you know, you have a guy like Danny Green who can do it with the starting unit, and then you have a guy like Fred VanVleet who can sort of lead that bench unit. I know Kawhi, there's been a lot of talk about him being more vocal than usual, and Lowry does a lot of his leading by playing. But I think Danny Green can really be a leader for that starting unit, so I would expect him to start a ton.
Okay. Sahal, what do you got?
I'm going to agree with Vivek. I think Danny Green, when they acquired him, with as well as Kawhi Leonard, I think a lot of people just didn't kind of appreciate him for what he brings to the court. We all were so excited about Kawhi, rightfully so. I mean, the guy's a superstar, but Danny Green is one of those guys that he'd probably start on the vast majority of teams across the league. He brings a really good NBA pedigree, plays really solid defense, can hit the three at a really high rate. And I think what we've seen so far in preseason, the rumblings we've heard out of training camp, I think Danny Green is primed to start a lot of games this season. This isn't a slight towards Norm, who I actually think is going to cut into minutes a lot more. He's looked pretty comfortable so far in the preseason, or DeLon Wright for that matter. But I feel like Danny Green is just supposed to definitely start over those two a lot more. I don't think it's going to be close.
Fair enough. Yeah, DeLon I included in this one just because he's kind of a sneaky fun pick to start of the two. Like, that might be their most exciting potential starting five. Fuck it, I'm going to take Norm. Give me Norm. this is probably going to be wrong, but you need to have these picks in here at some times where they diverge a little bit from you guys to give me the win. This is strategy more than anything. But also, like, the Raptors have more invested in Norm than they do in any other two-guard on the roster right now, assuming they don't give DeLon some sort of hefty extension, which I don't think they will. It seems like they might just let it go and worry about it next summer. But assuming that doesn't happen, Norm is the guy that they have locked in here. Danny Green's a free agent after this season. Obviously, he's looked pretty good in the preseason. His defense looks awesome. He's raining threes on the heads of the Nets tonight. But, you know, I do think there's a justification for playing Norm a lot this season just because you kind of need to see what he's going to do on this new contract and if you can salvage anything out of it and have it be an improvement from last season, or at the very least try to build him up into a trade asset. Wow. I don't think it'll happen right away, but I would not be stunned if by, you know, halfway through the season we're looking at, you know, the Danny Norm conversation and it being a real thing, because I think Norm will fit into that starting five pretty well. He might even offer a little bit of creation that Danny doesn't, and that might be, you know, necessary considering maybe Kawhi is not going to have the same usage and load that DeRozan had last season. Maybe Kyle still wants to take a step back, and maybe we see and Norm have a chance to sort of be a secondary creator in that potential starting five. So I'm going to say Norm. I'm not sure I totally believe it, but I'll say it anyway because strategy, baby. Let's go to the next one here. More starts between Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka, or OG Anunoby. Sahal, let's start with you.
This one was super tough. I mean, oh man, even right now I'm thinking about it because you just, honestly, you don't know what Nick Nurse is going to do.
Yeah.
We all know he's very innovative as an offensive mind. He likes to switch things up. We're probably going to see him shuffle around the starting lineup. I wouldn't be surprised if he shuffled around more than we thought he would in the early stages of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go OG Anunoby.
Okay.
And I'm not 100% confident with this pick, but I think Anunoby in his second year, I think he's going to show us a lot more. He has a lot to learn from guys like Kawhi Leonard, who he can quite literally start shaping his game after. Mm-hmm. But I think OG at the four is what I'm expecting Nurse to start off with, to start the season with Kawhi at the three. But I'm going to go OG. I think Ibaka is going to be that backup five. These are just my predictions. I think Ibaka is going to be that backup five. And I do think Siakam's going to be that guy that gets shuffled in once in a while, but I think OG's going to be the steady starter.
Vivek, what do you got?
I have OG as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Ibaka and JV are going to have a bit of back and forth in terms of being the starting center. On a night like tonight, you saw Jared Allen. Maybe Nurse wanted to see what Ibaka would look like against him, but I think on most nights, with more at stake, you might see JV starting instead. So I think that's going to be a toss-up on a lot of nights. And then I look at OG sort of being the constant. So there might be some nights where Danny Green doesn't start and OG starts with Kawhi, with Serge, with JV, and it's sort of a big lineup. And then there'll be some nights where OG is the four. So
yeah,
I think between the three, I would go with OG pretty comfortably.
Okay. I think I'm going to take Pascal. I think Nurse is going to really juggle around the starting five early in the season, and I think he's going to wait till something really hits, and then I bet he rolls with it, you know, once he kind of sees every possible iteration of the starting five. And I just kind of think Pascal's going to fit it well. I don't think Nurse is going to be married to the bench unit. Had it been, you know, Dwayne Casey, I probably wouldn't predict this because I bet Casey would go into this season saying, hey, it worked last year, stick with it. And that wouldn't be wrong by any means. Like, that's a good way to win a shit ton of games, which is what Dwayne Casey's really, really good at. But I think Nurse is going to be a little bit more experimental, and I don't think he's going to be beholden to what guys' roles were in the past. And like I said, I think Pascal, by the end of the season, we're going to be looking at him as the third best player on the Raptors, or at least the third most important. And the idea of him playing at the power forward spot, you know, maybe I'm just clouded because OG's been kind of invisible in this game that we're watching right now, and it's his first preseason game, so that's probably expected. But I do think Pascal offers a little bit more dynamism, I think, to the starting five if he were to be in there. And maybe, you know, the fact that he is more dynamic with the ball kind of lends to the idea of him coming off the bench and being another ball handler out there. Him and Fred just seem to have a pretty good sort of yin and yang as to who's going to carry the ball up and who's going to spot up at times, at the same time the other guy's carrying the ball up. But I don't know. I just think Pascal's going to sort of, on merit, get himself into the starting five this season. So this might also be wrong, and my last two picks have been kind of home run picks, but guess what? If I get one of them right, I'm probably beating your asses. So I'm saying Pascal is going to start the most games, but I think that's going to be fascinating. Like, I don't think Serge is out of the running either here. He started tonight.
Yeah.
And if you want, like, reliable shooting in the starting five to sort of augment what you have in that lineup, you know, obviously if you're starting Danny Green, then it doesn't really matter, but because you have shooters everywhere. But, you know, I don't know. I think there's a case to be made that Serge can start too in certain matchups. But, yeah, I'll say Pascal will have the most starts. I don't feel great about it, but, again, home run pick, strategy baby. Next one here.
By the way, I don't know if you guys are still watching the game, but yeah. DeLon did leave.
I saw that. Did you see what it looked like he had? Because I sure hope it's not the shoulder.
No. It was definitely his lower body. I'm not sure if it was his groin or, you know, it seemed like that area, but I don't want to speculate. So yeah. I'm not going to.
If you're listening to this, you probably already know what's happened. So you'll find out. But yeah, no, that's bad. Hopefully, I want DeLon healthy. DeLon's cool as hell, man. He's so fun to watch, and he's very good. And that would suck if he was hurt, so. Hope they're careful with him. Next question.
It would help Sahal's Fred VanVleet scoring option.
That's true. 100%. Damn, that could be a little a genius pick by Sahal now already. It's locked in stone, so we can't move it. next question here. Let's get these moving a little bit quicker. Kyle Lowry, points plus rebounds plus assists per game, over under 30.0. Last season, between points, rebounds, assists, he averaged 28.7 a night. Vivek, we'll start with you. What do you have for this over-under for Kyle?
I'm going to take the under again.
Okay. You're just a damn hater.
No, I think it's just the Raptors are actually going to be that good.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need as much out of him as they did in the years before. And you look at the way the offense was last year, I expect that to, you know, like I said before, be even more spread out this season. The scoring will be more even across the board. Like I don't even expect Kawhi to just, you know, average 25. We all know he can, but I wouldn't be surprised if he had a season where he averaged 21, 22.
Yeah.
And the offense was just that good. And then, I mean, honestly, that bodes well for our defense, because if those guys don't have to score as much, they can give that much more on the other end.
Right.
So yeah, again, this is a slight at where I think Kyle Lowry is with his game. I just think this is how good the Raptors are, and they just don't need as much out of him as they used to. So yeah, I'm taking the under.
Fair enough. So how, what do you got?
You know, honestly, I want to take the over just to be on the other side of Vivek here, but I'm going to take the under. We saw it with DeMar DeRozan as well as Kyle Lowry. They both took a big dip in scoring. DeRozan went from 27 points in 2016-17 season to 23 the next season, and Kyle Lowry dipped as well. So I'm going to be taking the under. Vivek basically explained everything. I think you're going to see an uptick in minutes, very slight, from Fred, DeLon. Toronto doesn't have to rely on Kyle as much. Plenty of reasons, I think, why Kyle is for sure not going to be... And again, this isn't a slight on Kyle Lowry. He's, for me, a lot of people complain about his age, him being 32, but I think overall, when you look at his total body of work and his career, he hasn't really been used as much, because if you look at early in his career, Houston days, Memphis days, he wasn't really a full-time starter. So, I mean, Toronto's really the only time where he's been a full-time starter.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, Kyle's probably 29, 30, and I guess you could say real age. I don't know how to say that, but I think definitely I'm going to take the under with Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, I want to be contrarian and go against you guys, but I'm also going to take the under. I just think, you know, he played 32-ish minutes last year. They might try to scale it back to, like, 29 or 30, and I think that'll just hurt the counting stats, but... I still think he'll be excellent, and his advanced numbers will be awesome. And also, I wouldn't be shocked in this offense if he averages like, he was at like 7 assists a game last year. Well, getting up to 8, 8.5, I wouldn't be stunned. I think it's going to be a nice sort of very good complimentary year for Kyle in a year where he doesn't have to carry the team while the other star kind of lets the team down in clutch moments. But that's besides the point. Next one here. How many All-Stars... Okay, Darth Vader, relax. How many All-Stars will the Raptors have? Sahal, what do you got?
I'm going to go 3 All-Stars.
3! Woohoo! What do you got?
I'm going to go 3 All-Stars, yeah. So I'm going to go 3 All-Stars. Again, you got to look at it how you expect... It correlates to exactly how you expect the team to perform as a whole by that halfway mark of the season, or a little bit earlier than the halfway mark of the season. Mm-hmm. But I think you're definitely going to see Kawhi Leonard. Of course, these are all assuming health. You're definitely going to see Kawhi Leonard. You're definitely going to see Kyle Lowry. And then that third guy, I think... in my opinion, is going to be Jonas Valanciunas. Mm-hmm. The front court situation in the whole Eastern Conference isn't that inspiring. You have Al Horford. You have guys like Andre Drummond. But then you have guys that I just don't even think are going to be special, really, and Dwight Howard. I forgot Joel Embiid's a definite all-star, probably an all-star starter. But you have guys like Brook Lopez, Vucevic, who really just... I mean, JB to me is clear-cut a top 5 center, I guess you could say, in the East. And I think he's definitely, with team performance, is what I'm trying to say, is he's definitely going to slip in there.
I like it. I'll get to my take in a sec. Vivek, you first.
No, you go ahead, man. You've been going last every time.
Okay.
You go ahead.
Okay, screw it.
Come on.
I'm going bold on this one. I was going to go 2, even though all preseason long I've been, like, hyping up Jonas. Fuck it.
Do
I'm
it,
saying 3.
Do it.
I'm saying 3. Like I said, I think Jonas is going to play more minutes. I think he's going to average, I don't know, I wouldn't be shocked if like 16 and 11s on the table for him, just because he plays more minutes and has more production. And, you know, if he throws in a couple assists as well, and the Raptors at, you know, the time of voting are on track to be like a 60-win team, which they very well could be, yeah, that's the kind of team that gets 3 All-Stars. And I like your point about the rest of the Eastern Conference centers being ass, because they are.
Yeah.
Al Horford, yeah. Joel Embiid, yeah. And then after that, like, Drummond could go either way. Like, he's not a perennial all-star to me. He's kind of having a good year kind of all-star. And, like, I don't know. Kevin Love will get a front court spot probably. Kristaps is out. Like, I think there's, like, there's room. It might not even be that he's one of the first 12 guys selected, but if there's like an injury replacement, he might be one of the first couple guys, because the East is bad and the centers aren't very deep, and it's more fun to take the overs and the more optimistic guesses on these things anyway. So I'm taking 3 All-Stars for the Raptors. Jonas Valanciunas is making it. So is Kyle Lowry. Lowry's not going to get voted in. He might not get a single fan vote, but he will be a coach's pick 100%. And then Kawhi might get voted in because the East is bad and he might be a starter. Vivek, what do you got?
So I'm going to be boring and say 2.
Lame!
part of that is strategic, because honestly, I might have gone 3 if Sean said 2. But
yes, I see where you're going.
Alright, so Raptors PR says DeLon Wright left thigh strain muscle will not return. That is the update.
Protect these boys' thighs. They all have good thighs. I want them not to get hurt.
I'm going to go with the 2 obvious choices, Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard, Kidlow squared. Reason why I don't think Jonas Valanciunas will make it, so I agree with you guys. The center depth isn't really there. You've got Embiid for Philly. You've got Kevin Love for Cleveland. You've got... who's the other guy that you guys mentioned?
Drummond, Horford.
Yeah, obviously you've got Horford for Boston and maybe Drummond for Detroit, if Casey can get Detroit winning some games.
I guess Blake Griffin is there too. How sad is it that I just forgot Blake Griffin is in the East?
Yeah.
Poor guy.
So I was going to say, the center depth isn't really there, but the forwards are there aplenty, right?
Yeah.
Especially if Jimmy Butler gets traded.
Yeah, I wouldn't count out Hassan Whiteside if Jimmy Butler goes to the Heat. They might get a couple All-Stars.
Booed. Hassan Whiteside sucks, dude. He's so ass. There's no way. If they're getting an All-Star, it's Josh Richardson and not Hassan Whiteside. He's so terrible at basketball. God. Get that out. I'm editing that out. Disgusting.
So that's the thing. And so I think that's why, just in general, we might not see that many bigs from the East in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at the forward depth, obviously you've got Giannis, you've got Kawhi, and then you've got...
Oh, OG just dunked. Hell yeah. Off an assist from Kawhi. Oh my God. Maybe I'm regretting my picking OG not to start games thing. Damn it.
Probably a mistake.
Anyway, yeah, definitely. Carry on.
Yeah. No. With the forwards, you've got Gordon Hayward returning as well.
He's a guard.
Jason Tatum might be an all-star this year.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I just think the forward depth will be so big for the East that you won't see that many bigs in the game, and that's what will count against Jonas, because as I picked before, I think he'll be under that 14 mark. I don't think that'll be enough to get him in.
Oh my God, that pass for that dunk, and then the dunk. Oh my God. Anyway, no one knows.
Very nice. Very nice.
OG's got a little beard growing in, too. That's exciting. Anyway, we got to move this thing along. Next one, wins against Eastern Conference opponents. I set the over-under at 39.5. I forget what they had last year. It was a lot. Vivek, let's start with you.
Wait, which question are we at? My bad.
Wins against...
I got caught up watching Chris Boucher enter the game.
Hell yeah. Wins against East opponents.
So, you've got 52 games against the East?
Yes.
Did you happen to say how many they won last year?
I'm pretty sure they won 40, because did they win 19 or 20 against the West? They went 19 and 11 against the West, so they would have gone 40 and 12 against the East.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. This season, the East is better. I'm gonna go over. I think they're still gonna be pretty dominant against the East. And kick ass. So yeah, I'm good with that.
All right,
I will take the over.
Cool. I'm also gonna take the over. I think there will be like splits against Boston and Philly probably. And then every other team, I think they'll probably win the season series against. Maybe like the Bucks or Pacers would be a little frisky, but the bottom of the East is so ass that I think the Raptors are going to kind of beat up on them. Sahal, what do you got?
Again, guys, I want to take the under so bad just to spite you guys, but man, I'm looking at these Eastern Conference teams, and again, like you said, take away the 76ers and the Celtics, the Raptors are going to absolutely dominate this conference, so... I'm going to take the over. Yeah, I'm going to take the over. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take the over, man.
That's only the second question we are all the same on. So I think that's better than last year. We were kind of in agreement on a lot of things. Anyway, this one here, another over-under. End-of-season Raptors award winners because between six-man, most improved, defensive player, MVP, all-defense, All-NBA, coach of the year, anything else I'm forgetting. We won't include executive because that's silly, but we could, I guess, if you really want to get technical with it. So, Vivek, let's start with you. Over or under 2.5 end-of-season Raptors award winners?
In terms of the number of players, or are you saying if one player wins
if
more than
if one guy gets multiple things, that's over. That's two. Like if say Kawhi wins MVP and is All NBA, that counts as two.
Okay. I see. So yes. I will take the over.
Okay, yeah. Where do you think they're coming from?
So Kawhi will be All Defense.
Yep.
Kawhi will be the Defensive Player of the Year.
Ooh.
Wow.
And he will be All NBA.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot. Sahal, what do you got?
I'm going to go over as well.
Okay.
I'm not going to go as far as Defensive Player of the Year. I do say Kawhi is going to be All Defense. He's going to be All NBA. So that's two. This is going to make you really happy, Sean. I'm going to take Pascal to be the most improved player of the year.
Hell yeah. Thanks. You took my picks, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's great. And I think there's a chance, if the Raptors hit the 60 win total, that Kyle Lowry may be able to slide into the All-NBA. So I'm going to go 4. So I'm definitely over of 2.5, and I'm going to go 4.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure about my Pascal most improved take, but it's sitting there. It's percolating. But I still think they're going to go over either way. I think we'll see Kawhi as all defense and all NBA. So that's 2. And I think we'll see...
Don't say Norman Powell MVP, please.
No. I think we'll see one other Raptor, whether it's Danny Green or OG or maybe Pascal, as an all defense guy.
Wow.
Because I think their defense is going to be that good. So, like, second team all defense, they'll have another guy. And then defensive player, I'm not quite... It feels like the preseason, like, narrative is very Anthony Davis-y. And obviously that changes very much. But, like, sometimes these awards kind of feel a little preordained. Sixth man, I guess Fred would be in the mix there. But I think there's so many good bench players on the Raptors that they'll kind of eat into each other's votes. The MVP thing is interesting. Coach of the Year actually is kind of interesting too. If like Nick Nurse leads his team to like 62, 63 wins, that could also be one. But I'll stay a conservative like 3 between an All NBA, an All Defense, and a second All Defense for somebody else. And then, I mean, Lowry usually deserves to be in the All NBA conversation, but never quite gets on because his numbers aren't big enough. But so yeah, I'll say a slight over with the potential for it to be much over if things go super duper according to plan. Next one here, let's do these last two pretty quickly. Total wins, I said it at the 56.5. Sahal, what do you got?
Over.
Okay.
Over.
All right.
I think the Raptors are going to hit that 60 win mark. First time franchise history. I think they're going to break their franchise record in terms of wins. But I think they're going to hit it, and I think it's going to be... They're going to hit it pretty comfortably as well. I think this is the best Raptors team we've seen. And I'm really happy that I feel like we're saying this every year during the offseason, and it usually comes true. But I definitely think this is the best Raptors team, and I think we're better equipped in the playoffs. It does help LeBron's gone out of the conference. We don't got to worry about him anymore. We're talking about regular season here, and I think Toronto's going to roll through the regular season with ease.
I'm going to say a very, very slight under. Like, I think 56 is the number I kind of circled. I think I have the over on Eastern Conference wins, so I'll put them at 40, and then I'd say they go 16-14 against the West, because the West is pretty good, and, you know, maybe it's not as, like, top-heavy as... we should be led to believe, but I do think like the West is always tough, and winning 19 games against them last year was kind of an impressive achievement. So I'll say 56 just because I do think with Nick Nurse being an experimental coach and not really sort of adopting the same philosophies as Dwayne Casey, I do think there will be games where he'll try something out late in the game and it won't work out and we'll never see it again, but it will cost him that one game. And I think that's all part of the process you want to see from this team this year. So I'll say 56. I could totally see it being over. This is also kind of strategic, I think. But, you know, it's I think that's not to toot my own horn, but I think I set the line at a pretty good spot here.
It was a really good spot, yeah.
Vivek, what do you have?
So I have them over the 56.5.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident in that. One of the things I was looking at is, so last year they finished 35-2 against teams under 500, and 24-21 against teams over 500.
Yeah.
So I don't expect them to repeat that 35-2 mark. That's just ridiculous. And a credit to Casey to, you know, get guys ready to play on the nights that, you know, you're not necessarily as competitive as you are against those elite teams. But I think the 24-21 will improve, and so that will sort of cancel that out, and so they'll still be above the 56.5. It's probably more of an interesting question as to whether or not they'll get to 60, but I think they'll get over 56.5 barring injury.
All right. I don't hate the pick. I feel like I'm kind of setting myself up to lose with all of my picks here, but whatever. If it goes my way, it's really, really, really going to go my way. Last one here. Playoff rounds one, over-under set at 2.5. So essentially, are the Raptors making the finals or no? The over says yes, the under says no. Vivek, what do you got?
So at the risk of losing this entire thing on one question, I am going to punt this question because I'm a little superstitious. And, that's honestly how much I believe in this team, which should tell you what my answer would be.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm going to punt.
I've just written here candy ass under your, your pick here. So, Sahal, what do you have?
You know, like I feel like I've been tooting the Toronto Raptors horn enough during this podcast, but I feel, I also feel at the same time that I have to be as rational as possible.
Yeah.
I still do think Boston is the best team in the Eastern Conference. And I do think that they are better equipped than the Raptors in terms of just having more options. I think the Raptors, one of the things they still struggle with, or that it's really going to come down to for them in the playoffs, is whether or not they have that consistent third option after Kyle Lowry and after Kawhi Leonard. We don't know if it's going to be Valanciunas. We don't know if it's going to be Siakam, Van Vliet. As much as we'd like to say it's going to be a mixture of all of them, but that's not really how it goes in the playoffs. You need that. Sometimes you need that bucket, and when you're not getting it from those two guys, you need that third guy. I feel like Boston has that with Jason Tatum after Hayward and Irving. And I feel like the Raptors don't.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and I feel like this sucks to say, because it is. I do feel like this is the best Raptors team that we've assembled this far in franchise history. But I do feel like I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say they're going to win the first two rounds. They're going to go to game seven, six or seven with Boston, and they won't be able to pull it out, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think the thing with Boston is that I actually wrote this in my Kawhi Leonard season preview that I wrote today, RaptorsHQ.com, that you can check out.
Plug.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this podcast is nothing if not one large plug. The thing about the Celtics is that the guys after their stars, like if you say like Kyrie, Hayward, and Horford are like their core stars or whatever, like the guys after those guys are kind of what the Raptors hope their young guys can be. Like, but the Celtics guys are already that. And if there's one real thing that I think gives the Celtics the edge, it's that. With that said, I'm taking the over because Vivek didn't and Sahal didn't, so why the hell not? Full disclosure, my pick was...
Honestly, when we go through all this, and even if you still don't come around with a total, and let's say me or Vivek take it, if we make the finals, man, you can just have this.
You can have the
whole prop bet. Just take it all.
All right, fine. That's in writing. I'm going to put that caveat here. It's the winner-take-all pick. Yeah, no, I think this team is extremely good. I think Kawhi... The Raptors have been the victim of this in the past, where the team with the very best player kind of has a bit of a trump card in a playoff series. And for the first time, the Raptors have that in most series. Maybe you could say, depending on how the Bucks season goes, that Giannis is the best player in the East. But I think Kawhi, at his 2016-17 level, has the claim right now. And if he can get there, I mean, he looks really good in the preseason. He had like 8 assists today. He's obviously his shot to come around in time, but the... Just, he's really, really freaking good. And I think he can swing a series. I think this team is going to be amazing defensively. They're not going to have the same issue they had last year where they couldn't stop good offenses. I think they're going to be hard to score on no matter who you are. And I'm going to take the over. I'm not sure. I think it's a coin flip with Boston, if I'm being honest. And I might actually lean Boston. But considering how you guys picked and considering how optimistic I'm feeling, I'm going to take the Raptors over 2.5 playoff rounds one. They're going to lose to the Warriors in 5, and it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I can't wait till the next time you guys come on the podcast. This was delightful. It was so good having you both on. Sahal, where can people check out your work?
Yeah, so I'm back on Raptors Republic, just like last season. I'm going to be doing some game work. The season is starting really soon, so you might see me on a couple of recaps, previews. I won't have as much time to get as many feature articles out as I'd like, but, I mean, I'll be here.
Chris Boucher has hit a three!
I'll be here. I did release a couple things. I released a pretty big coaching preview for Nick Nurse for the upcoming year. Mm-hmm. So I hope you guys check that out. I'm on Twitter at SAV28.
Right on, Vivek. What do you got going on?
Vivek's working.
Is he there? Vivek, are you here still?
That Chris Boucher 3, I think.
Oh, you know what? I accidentally muted myself.
Oh. Well, you've lost your opportunity to plug stuff. I'm kidding. What do you got?
I lost my mind on that Boucher 3.
Yeah.
And muted myself. I've got my first story for The Athletic coming out Friday.
Hell yeah.
Look out for that. And then... other than that, you can catch me at my regular outlets, Sportsnet and Raptors Republic. And you can follow me on Twitter at Vivek M. Jacob.
Right on. I am still at Raptors HQ. I'm like the only person who hasn't moved sites this summer. It feels awesome. I wrote a Kawhi Leonard preview today. It was more feelings-based than anything because, as it turns out, there aren't many like recent numbers to go off writing a Kawhi Leonard piece with, so I went from the heart instead, which I thought turned out pretty well. So check that out at Raptors HQ. Of course, check out the podcast, Locked On Raptors, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you find podcasts, and make sure you're checking out the Locked On NBA preview every day this week. We got three previews so far up, the first 18 teams, I suppose, if my math is correct.
He did it again.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's okay. With the shot clock off, too? Or was this still on? Either way, who cares? Jordan Lloyd closing it out. Hell yeah. Oh, beautiful. Coach Bud's going to be really mad about that one. He's watching and stewing with a dunk with 1 second left. Anyway, Locked On NBA preview. My episode for the Raptors preview part will be up on Friday, along with five other teams. And I hope you check that out. It's very nice. Also, if for some reason you like Hamilton-related basketball things, McMaster Basketball, the Canadian Elite Basketball League, also Raptors, you can listen to Hamilton is Hoops, my weekly radio show on TSN 1150. It goes online on TSN1150.ca. And it's a good time. This week we talked to the CEO of the Canadian Elite Basketball League, Mike Morreale, about the league. It's kind of interesting and kind of exciting about, it's just kind of an FAQ about the Canadian Elite Basketball League, if that is your bag. Anyway, we're going to wrap this thing up. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.